when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. And only five churches have failed their data. Pankronu has failed. Adiambra has failed. He's not here yet. Fanchinibra. He's not here. Chris is not here. Has failed. Fancy has failed. And Insenia has failed. Sawaba is sitting here. He has not failed. And then who again too? Who else is here? I cannot. Ashtown. Mankransu is here. As if he's not here. No. It is self-defeating. Macro has not filled the data. They have just come. They have not filled the data. Yeah. So, what it means is tonight, at the end of service, we just stay behind and fill the data. Hallelujah. Is it a good idea? It's a good idea. Don't feel it now. You listen to me. I'll be preaching to your head, the top of your head. That you're not listening to me. Hallelujah. Amen. But one of the mysteries of what we are doing is that sometimes you can see a clear effort from people to try to do well. True or not true? You can see a clear effort. Somebody is really trying to do well. He's doing his best to do well. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But we see repeatedly that people still don't do too well, you know, for many various reasons. So tonight, there is one reason that I feel is the key most. Is that a key most? Yeah. Key most reason why people don't bear much fruit. And I want us to look at it this evening and see what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for wisdom, for knowledge, understanding that guide us on our path to success. May it be real in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. For Christ sent... tonight, I'm preaching for a very short time again. So I hope you just pay attention. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That is why we need to embark on a campaign of preaching, because preaching is the key. Is the key most? Is that what I said? The key most. Yeah, is the key most thing, most important. Preaching the gospel. Then he qualifies it not with the wisdom of words. Those who say, "I don't know how to speak," it doesn't matter. If you could speak, it's even better you can't speak. It's even better, it's safer. So you don't at any point corrupt the gospel with your wisdom. Just say it simple. You are a stammerer. Stammer your way through the gospel. Yeah, it's not the wisdom of words. Then he makes a very important, our message starts from here. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It says also, lest the cross of Christ should lose its power. It means that if I say less or except unless or in case, I don't know what I'm saying, but that the cross of Christ should not be stripped of its power, meaning that it has power. And that is why verse 18 comes powerfully in now. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. It is the power of God. This evening, I want us to spend just a few minutes to look at this passage. Jesus' most greatest deed, the most significant thing that he did for us, was not to be born, was not to do miracles, because he did those miracles, yes. He did all those other things. But if he had not been able to transfer that power, he would have died and gone. He would have preached to about 80 or 85. And that is the end of that ability to do miracles. But because he sacrificed himself on the cross, and if you remember, it said in John chapter 10, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down. And when you remember too, I think in when he was on the cross, Bible says, and he dismissed his spirit. So Jesus was not killed. I'll be understanding. He was not killed by the Roman soldiers. Those soldiers, remember, when they came to arrest him and they saw him, they all fell down. I mean, it's a mysterious thing. The person you are coming to arrest is standing there, you are falling down. Then you get up and arrest him. I mean, clearly, he didn't, it's like he didn't decide to show his power. He decided to allow you to do what God had prepared us to do. Hallelujah. Just for comparison, another person in the Bible who is worthy of note is Samson. Samson. Samson also was, his birth was predicted before he was born by an angel. He was born of a barren woman, which is close and parallel to a virgin who can't give birth or shouldn't give birth. And he was also a Nazarite, Samson. He was a Nazarite from his birth. So Samson, if you ever take the time to study him, you'll find that there are many similarities between Samson and Jesus. And one of the most striking similarities is that Samson ruled Israel for many, many years, and he killed many Philistines in his lifetime, but it was his death that killed much, much more than he ever killed in his life. So his death was more significant than his life. And so Jesus too, his dying on the cross, it was the greatest thing he came to do. Hallelujah. I mean, if they say choose Easter or Christmas, always choose Easter. Though I know you like Christmas, always choose Easter, because Easter is the greatest display of power. That is where he went to hell to pick up get the keys from the devil. I mean, he descended to hell. He took the keys. He faced him at the gate. So the dying on the cross was the greatest thing he did. Hallelujah. Tonight, let us pay attention for a few minutes, okay? Because the preaching of the cross is our attempt to explain what happened and to pass it on to other generations. Hallelujah. But listen to this. For the preaching of the cross, that is, when we say the cross, what we are referring to is the death of Jesus on the cross. That death, which I told you, he wasn't killed, he died. He laid down his life. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And so he dismissed his spirit. God went down, fought the devil, came back, and said, I'm back again. Yeah, I'm back. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Tonight, I want you to, when I say the preaching of the cross, I mean the concept and the understanding of sacrifice. Tonight I'm preaching sacrifice. The concept and the understanding of sacrifice, of the man who willingly, when it was time to go to Jerusalem, he said, let us go. And Thomas said, they tried to stone you there recently. Why are you going there again? And he said, this is why I came. This is why I came. I want us to be very clear, all of us. You may know it, but it's not clear in your heart that Jesus was not killed. Yeah, he was not killed. He laid down his life. His life was not taken from him. He gave it up. Otherwise, the whole idea of sacrifice becomes unclear, and then you don't get the full understanding of what the cross means. Are you here this evening? Yeah. He wasn't killed. He gave up his life. And so talking about the cross is talking about Jesus who had, and you see, he said he had his life. He didn't have to die. He chose to follow the Father's will. He said, listen, if it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass for me. I mean, it's not something which is easy, but I will do it, because that's the way to save mankind. Amen. So the cross, this dying on the cross, this Jesus giving up his life, he could have lived. He showed his power, Even at the time when Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, he cut off the ear. At that point, he was healing ears. Couldn't he heal himself and then jump down the cross and go home? He clearly could have. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we sometimes read the Bible superficially without understanding. If it was an exam, you will fail. You have not applied the knowledge in your head to see what it says. But he wasn't killed. He gave up his life. As a ransom. What is a ransom? Something you exchange. You give something for something. So it's not like it's a forced captivity. It's a ransom. Amen. How we are listening? Oh? Because this sacrifice, this concept of sacrifice, of giving up what is yours. Okay. Now, there are two life in this world. Many things fall into two broad categories. We have day and night. We have black and white. But we have red, green, and gold. But those are the fine details. We have color and lack of color. So we have true and false. Though there are many lies in between. You know, how are we listening? So things basically fall into, we have male and female. Though now we are not sure again. There are permutations and combinations of boy, girl, girl, boy, 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 girl. I mean, now it's all bizarre. But basically, things fall into two categories, up and down, left and right, forwards and backwards. You get me? Is it clear? Though they are round and round, I mean, there are other, yes, but this is the basic, this thing. So when it comes to this thing called sacrifice, there are basically two minds about what sacrifice is. There are basically two minds, though there are a whole host, it's a whole spectrum, but it falls down to generally two. Amen? And there are generally two types of people who have this mind about this thing called sacrifice. Hallelujah. So, tonight, if you want to write something, write this one. Sacrifice is either power or is foolishness. Sacrifice. It is either power or it is foolishness. What do I mean? What I am trying to say this evening is that to an onlooker, when an onlooker sees somebody sacrificing, giving up something that is his by right, most people, their judgment, their mind would fall into one of two categories. Either they will say, the guy is fupa. He gave up his job to go to Mali. He gave up this nice job to go and be a preacher somewhere. The judgment of most people is when they see somebody, when they see sacrifice, either what comes to you is, this thing is foolish, me, I won't do this thing. Or, Charlie, what a wild move. What a wild thing. This guy, what he has done, you will see the effect in some time to come. Either it is a very foolish thing he has done, or a very wild thing he has done. When you see sacrifice. So, to go one step forward, many people, when they are faced with the option or the possibility of sacrifice, they either say, it's a foolish thing, I won't do it. Why should I give up my position as a bank manager to go and pastor a church of 20? It's a foolish thing, I won't do it. Or, Charlie, this thing is a great move and we'll see what God will do. I don't know whether you are following me. Yeah. Either it is a great thing or it is a foolish thing. So, taking it one step forward, you, whenever you are faced with a sacrifice, either you think that I'm not a fool, I won't do this, or I'm going to kill myself for Jesus. You. That is why some people, when it comes to tithing, they think they are wise. So they don't tithe 100%. They tithe flat rate. They tithe some 200 cedis. They tithe some, they leave out their allowances, leave out the petrol allowance, leave out the rent allowance, leave out everything allowance. Then they tithe on the small basic salary. It comes to 70 cedis. They say, 70 cedis tithe. But the real tithe is 100 and something cedis. But because they are saying, and unconsciously, I'm not a fool. How are we understanding? They are saying in their heads, unconsciously, I'm not a fool. So what are they saying? That this sacrifice is foolishness. It's foolishness. You see, few of us ever finish thinking. Do you understand finish thinking? You don't think to the end. You see that this guy is not serious. But what does it mean? Not serious about what? Where is it? Finish thinking to the logical conclusion. Then your thoughts will end somewhere. This is it. Whenever you say, I'm not tithing, you have not finished thinking. You have begun to think that tithing is there, but I won't do it. If you finish thinking, it is that I won't do it because I don't believe in tithing. It is not a good thing to do with my little money. I must be wise and save money for the real bill, my rent. And this church money is not important. I mean, the church, after others are here who will tithe, so we can keep our money. So the bottom line is, when it comes to sacrifice, either you think that it's a foolish thing to do, it's not the wise thing to do. If I come to you and I say, give up your job and come and pastor a small church, how many here do you think people will get up and say, I will do it? It is the same thing I'm saying, bring your hand, let's cut it off. You will say in your head, foolishness. Am I a fool? Or is that not what you say? And I say, okay, listen, I want someone to dash me his car. I want somebody to dash me his car. And then they'll think their head, oh, monkey, they're very bad with their job. Yeah. They will, okay, someone should dash me his car. There are many cars here. Aaron has a car. Albert has a car. Nana has a car. Charles has a car. Stevie has a car. The front row, they all have cars. And the second row too, they have cars. Do you think they'll give me their car? I've not asked for it. Yeah, I've not asked for it. But if I did, because this giving me your car is a sacrifice, unlike many other things that we have to do. It will sharply bring into focus what you really think about what you are doing. And many of us, if God, I mean, God can lay on your heart to do something. I tell you, they will fight that lay on their heart. They will fight God. True or not true? If God touches your heart, you know, give your car away to the lady behind you. No. Lord, I have a plan for my car. Because I've been there before. When God told me to give my car away, I said, Lord, Shabaya, this car, oh, I have a plan. I have a budget. And the budget includes the cost of the car that I'm going to sell and to use for something. And God said, give it away to somebody. I said, Lord, you don't understand. You know, in the affairs of men, so there's something called money that we use to buy things. And yeah. And God said, give it away. And I don't know. I gave it away. You see, one day, I've told you before, when T.L. Osborne came to Kumasi, I went to the meeting. And somehow that day, when I was going, I took my last 200 cedis. I don't know why, what madness came into my head. But I took my last money. And I was there in the program when he said, give an offering. Then I took out my small coins and said, no, change it. Then I said, no, I won't. Then he was, I mean, as he was talking to me from the pulpit. But I remember that when the offering basket came to me, I put in the 200 cedis. I remember. And the thought that came to me was, Patrick, you are a fool. That was, you see, because when you sacrifice, are you listening? When you make a big sacrifice, either you are a fool or great power is about to be released. When you make a big sacrifice, when you come to the point of a big sacrifice, the thoughts, your mind will fall into two categories. This is foolishness. What are you talking about? Give up my last money, 100,000 cedis, I should give it away to you to go and buy cement for the church. Why? What is the pressure? It's my house building project I'm giving you. My wife and my children is our future. This church, there are about 32 branches. They don't need 34 branches. So who needs it more, me or the church? Who needs it more? And so let me keep my money. It's not a wise decision to give away my money. After all, I mean, others too will come later and do it. So, all those, are you listening? All those thoughts, they are condensed into the fact that this thing is foolishness. This thing is foolishness. Give up your car, it's foolishness. Give up your job, it's foolishness. No, I mean, I need a job. After, how do I pay my school fees, my rent, my wife, my children? How do I do all those things? It's foolishness. Let me just stay and look. Don't do a fool. And you see, foolishness, what is our rule? Don't do a foolish thing. And so many of us, when it comes to a sacrifice, what comes is that it's a foolish thing, which is one of the ways you can see sacrifice. To those who are perishing, it is foolishness. Bible says sacrifice is actually considered foolishness by some people. And it tells you who those people are. Those who are unbelievers. Those who are not destined for heaven, those who are perishing, those who are not beneficiaries of the sacrifice of Jesus, to them it is foolishness. And to the other person, it is great power about to be released. It is great power about to be released. And so every time we come to a place where a sacrifice is laid before us, either we see it as an opportunity to receive power, or we see it as a foolish thing that I shouldn't do. Amen. Is it clear? I'm almost finished. So listen. Number one, because you are not a fool. Huh? Most of us who are here, how many here are fools? How many here are not fools? Yeah, thank you. Because you are not a fool, you will not sacrifice. Yeah? Because you are not a fool, you will not do this foolish thing. Because you are not a fool, you will do something else that is wiser than this foolish thing. That's us. That's us. But Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. That's why he was able to be a fool in the eyes of the world. And that's how come he was able to sacrifice easily. But many of us who clearly are surely sure that you're not a fool, most of us in this current era, you will not sacrifice. You will not sacrifice. Most of us will think that, and I mean us who are here, most of us will think that there must be another way. There is another way to do the same thing, but in a wiser way. So I can avoid paying this thing, but still serve God and give offering and do other things. I hope you are listening. Yeah? That is it. I'm not a fool. And so, as we sit here, look, I can tell you, many of us who are here, I will say many, you don't tithe properly. We have said it, now it has become immune. And this is the bottom line why you don't tithe properly, because you think that I have a wiser use of my money than, after all, I'll give offering, I'll give other things, I'll make up somewhere. No, there's nothing else. You're only asking one thing: pay your tithe and give offering when you like. That's what we're asking in the Bible. Give. Whoever is of a willing heart should bring an offering. Offering there, give it when you like. Offering you give, you don't like, don't give. Offering is not by force. Hey, did you know? Offering is not by force at all. It is whoever is of a willing heart. Let him give, let him bring silver, gold, or bronze. Give what you can afford. That's an offering. But a tithe, when you don't tithe, you are stealing. That means you are obliged. You are supposed to give. But many of us don't give because we think that I have another use. I have a better way. And so, because you are not a fool, that is why many of us don't embrace sacrifice. And we think we know a better way to do things. Hallelujah. But listen, there is no better way. Amen. There is no better way. This is the best way. This is the way God has earmarked for promotion and for advancement and for increase. There's no better way. But many of us will try and find a better way. And you find that there's none again. Amen. Number two. Because sacrifice is either foolishness or power, it means when you do anything else, what it is that it does not have power. When you take the foolishness angle, you can even argue that it becomes wise. It doesn't matter. You can justify it. You can explain it. You can make a debate, whatever it is about tithing or whichever sacrifice it is, so that it appears reasonable and it appears logical. I mean, it's something which is acceptable. Yeah, maybe. But point two is, whatever else option that comes up in place of the sacrifice, it does not have power. It does not have power. So what it means is that the other thing you have done, you have bought television, bought fridge, bought microwave, bought some nice stereo system. Whatever it is, lamps, lights, fans, it means that whatever else you have done, not sacrificing, there is no power. It means that whatever else it is, it will not work. It will not work. So you have a nice office building, it will not bring money. You have a nice degree, you don't have income. You have a nice job, but you don't have the happiness. So there will be something else. But that thing, because there is no sacrifice. Are you listening to me? That thing, because there's no sacrifice attached to it, you have something, but there's no power. So whatever it is, a car without power, a house without power, light without power, TV without power, but the thing is standing there. And you can see it standing there. And you can admire it. And you can tell yourself, well done. And you can see the house, the car, the job, the company, the work you have done. But there's no power in it to bless you. There's no power. And so many people are building things that are powerless. I told you of the guy who went to a house in Lima. It was my cousin. Went to a house in Lima. Beautiful. I mean, not the room. Carpet was about 7 inches thick. Hey! Nice air. The sofa. I tell you, there's money in Lima. There's money there. And he said on the wall was a big TV. This is long ago. So it must have been very expensive. Long ago, I was probably not married at that time. So more than 30 years ago. And it was a big TV on the wall. And he went to it. Then he pressed the thing, click. No, nothing changed. He pressed the button, click, nothing changed. Click. In those days, the remote was very rare. It was press. And then he press. And the guy said, oh, there's no power. You have got a nice job, nice something, but there's no power. And so many people have things in their lives that are not achieving the aim you are looking for. Because there's no power. No power. You have a job. You can't enjoy it. You have a car. It's not achieving its aim. I mean, the aim that you are looking for is not working. There's no power in that thing. Amen. Number three, we have so much knowledge. We have so much knowledge, but nothing to show for it. Somebody once told me that first class students, they rarely do well in life. First class, those who get first class, those who get second upper, they're the ones who do well. Second upper. Yeah. Second upper are the ones who continue and they succeed. Even the dropouts become the billionaires. Yeah. The dropouts, the second upper and second lower, they're the ones who become the heads of banks and other things. Rarely do you see a first class. Am I saying something? If you like, go and begin to check. Go and look at tech. Go and look at their past records, all the first class candidates, and see how many of them have gone to the top of the bank. They are the ones who are employed by the bank. And the bank CEO is some second upper or something like that. Aaron, true or not true? Pardon? Third class. Yes, what is my message? Yeah, those who get first class, because I had somebody who was getting a first class. Then someone told me, hey, don't be in a hurry to push him to first class. Relax. If he gets it, no problem. But don't push him to get first class. Because those who are pushed to get first class, they really, I don't know whether their head begins to swell up or they feel they know. They feel they know. And then they don't know anything. And then you go out and say, I'm a first class student, you know. You don't know anything. A graduate of a first class bachelor's graduate, what do you know? There's no field where a first class is an expert. You are a novice, a bit better than a second class upper. 75 and 80, what's the difference? 5% makes you an expert. Nonsense. You are just slightly better. Slightly better than the second upper. But because it's called first class, you are feeling so fantastically great. No. Point three. I'm not missing point three. We have much knowledge, but little to show for it. Because there's no sacrifice. There's no sacrifice. Tonight, all I'm saying, if you are here, and you want to do well in life, I tell you, you cannot escape sacrificing something to get what you want. You can't escape it. If you want to be the pastor of a growing church, of a big business, of a large company, you cannot escape sacrifice. You cannot. You cannot. What's a sacrifice? A sacrifice is to give up what is rightfully yours. That's a sacrifice. Give up. Give up what is rightfully yours. It's your car, it's your money, it's your house. It is yours to do with as you please. But you give it up. Amen. This is just a side note, but call it number four. It's just a side note. Suffering. I bring suffering here because sacrifice brings suffering. So I'm bringing suffering here. Suffering prepares and works on you. Somebody who hasn't suffered before becomes proud and arrogant, and dismissive of things. Somebody who has not suffered before doesn't know what it means to walk to school. He doesn't know what it means to be hungry. That's why Maria Antonia, she said, they can't have bread, they should eat cake. You don't know what it means. I mean, you have clearly not understand that I have no bread. Oh, you have no bread, then eat cake. These are crazy. You see, you don't understand. That's why they cut her head off. They cut her head off. I mean, what are you saying? I don't have kinky. Oh, don't have kinky, then go eat KFC. What are you saying? You don't understand. Suffering works on you. Anybody who has suffered becomes cool and gentle and polite. Yeah, and respectful. Anybody who has suffered before, he walks in a certain way. Those who have not suffered before, they have some. I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, but you know, you see, you have not seen anything. You have not seen anything. Suffering, those who walk to school when they were primary school, they walk, when they get to secondary school, they are different. Those whose fathers drove them in car to school, in and out, they are different. Suffering has, I hope we are listening. It changes you. It softens you. It makes you, next time you see somebody walking, they remember how you walked. Of course, there are some few wicked people who become wickeder with their suffering. They want to revenge on the whole world. Of course, there are a few like that. I mean, they are so angry at their childhood that anybody at all, they want to show their wickedness. That's madness. But suffering generally tones you down and it makes you gentle, cool. You remember when you see somebody hungry, then you remember how you were hungry and how you were looking around at the shop. When shall I? When will I get it? And then you feel that, nobody help me. Let me help this child. Yeah, that's what suffering does to you. You see a child walking to school wearing slippers that are torn, the sole is finished, the feet are half on the ground. Then you remember that, I remember when I was walking Chalewate and I was praying, somebody buy me a shoe, any shoe at all. And then you remember yourself and say, nobody did for me, but I'll do for this child. That's what suffering does. It softens you and makes you understanding, respectful, gentle, and things. I hope it's clear. But sacrifice multiplies and affects what you produce and the effect you are able to achieve. So sacrifice is a multiplier. It is whatever you are doing, if you add sacrifice, instead of 2, you get 20. Instead of 10, you get 100. Because anybody, any student, you know, a student, all students, you can learn your normal learning or you can learn extra. A student who doesn't learn in the night is for sleeping. And daytime is for academic studies. But the student who will give up his nights and give up his rest, it is a cost you are paying. It's my right to sleep at night. But as a student, I sacrifice it. You get your returns in your exam is multiplied. You get better grades and better results. So sacrifice multiplies what you do. That's where John 12:24 comes in. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears forth much fruit. Sacrifice multiplies. So whatever you, that is why, you know, all these businessmen and things, they work 18 hours a day. They don't go home. They sleep in the office. They've given up their lives for their company and for their business and for their things. And that's how come the things become much bigger than they are. But many also collapse in some funny way because there's no real sustaining power in those things. Are you listening to me? So tonight, I want us to... have I said everything clearly? That you may not say so. You may not say so. When you see somebody sacrifice, you call him a fool in your head. You may not say a fool, but you say, I won't do this. You didn't say I'm a fool. But you said, I won't do this. What are you saying? I won't do this. What are you saying? I won't do this. Hey, you are doing this. Me, I won't do this. Oh, what are you saying? Oh, you don't understand the English. Yeah. What's the implication of those statements? I won't do this. You are saying I'm not a fool. You are saying I'm not a fool to do what you are doing. As for me, I'm wise. Oh, I won't do what you are doing. That's what it means. As for me, I won't do this. Every time you think those thoughts, that is in reality what you are saying. You see somebody paying tithe, you are tithing, eh? Okay, God bless you. What are you saying? Because if you are also likewise tithing, you wouldn't say God bless you. You say God bless us. Or yeah, let's do it. But when you detach yourself, you are making yourself wiser. You are saying that this thing is foolishness. Tithing is either foolishness or great power. And so those who say it is foolishness reject it. And those who say it is great power embrace it. Those who say it is foolishness, they reject it. No, I won't do it. They will find a way around it to do something else. And that's where they build something that has no power. But those who embrace it, they say that what they see their power in their lives. Hallelujah. Tonight, one last point. Sacrifice your life as a living sacrifice. And sacrifice the things in your life as a burnt offering. Sacrifice your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, to do God's perfect will. But sacrifice the things in your life. What things? Whatever thing you have. Whatever thing you have in your life, sacrifice it as a burnt offering. A burnt offering is something you cannot use again. It's burnt. It's burnt. Give away money you give away is burnt. You can't use it again. Car you give away is burnt. Time you give away is burnt. The things you have in your... And you see, most of us, we end up trying to protect ourselves. Why? Because it is foolish to just give away your life. I mean, what did those soldiers in Liberia say? I won't die any foolish death. Yeah, I won't die any foolish death. So I'm not going to war. I'm going to drive taxi. You have gone on peacekeeping. You are on peacekeeping in Liberia. Then you are driving taxi. Why? I'm not going to die foolish death to go to the front line. No, I'm here. Yeah, because it is a foolish thing to give up your life to no purpose. But soldiers who die for their countries are called martyrs. and they are given a place of honor. I went to the new cemetery, military cemetery in Accra. Beautiful, beautiful place. Kofi Annan is there, Rollins is there, and somebody else is there. Beautiful place. When you die for your country, you see, they will honor you. Yeah, they will honor you. Yeah, it's a you give up your life for your country. It's not the normal cemetery they'll put you at. Cemetery. No, not tafu. No, not tafu. Hallelujah. Are you here tonight? So tonight, my last statement is that if for some reason you are not embracing sacrifice, you are joining those who are perishing. You are thinking like them. You are behaving like them. I mean, a boy can wear a skirt and can behave like a girl, but he's still a boy. So you're not like them, but you are behaving like them. You are thinking like them. You are not acting like, I mean, what that's what it says, that Saul died as though not anointed. That the death he died. This is not how anointed men die in battles, brought down. No. And then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 4, it says, and you are behaving like mere men. Yeah, I mean, Christians don't behave like this. Christians don't argue, don't quarrel, don't fight, don't do certain things. When you do those things, you are behaving in an unchristian way. How do you get the difference of mere men? You are thinking like the world. Those who are, when you shy away from sacrifice, you shy away, like I don't want it. Then you find yourself thinking not like a Christian should think, but like a man of the world. Those who are perishing, a man, and a mere man. But I want us to strive to do well and sacrifice. It will multiply whatever it is, whatever seed you plant for business, for ministry, for family, whatever it is that you plant, sacrifice will multiply it. Sacrifice will cause it to bear fantastically more fruits than you can imagine. That's what it does. And in avoiding sacrifice, we rob ourselves of this benefit. We make ourselves ordinary people. We cease to become special. We cease to become people who are anointed, but rather we are ordinary. And listen, an ordinary person, an ordinary person is a very poor person. Don't think for 1 minute that you are ordinary. No. 99% of us who are here, you are above average. The ordinary person, the ordinary person in Ghana is a villager who is has no money, lives hand to mouth, doesn't even have clothes to wear, doesn't bath every day, probably has one shoe that he wears all the time, he doesn't wash his clothes. Look, the average man, when you meet him, you don't like him. The average man, average means 39 million divided by 2. Then the middle, that's the average, the one in the middle. Not the richest or the poorest, but the one in the middle. He's nowhere, you are nowhere near the average. if I remember, I have something written somewhere. $10 is how many CDs? 150 CDs. How many here have 200 CDs somewhere? You have 200 CDs somewhere. Somewhere. You can find it. What is $100 is 1,000? 1,500 CDs. How many can find $1,000, 1,000 CDs within a week? You can find it. If I say 1 week, 1,000 CDs, go and find it and bring it. How many can find it? 1,000 CDs. Yeah. If I have to go and find the exact figure, if you have $10 hidden somewhere, you are in the top 25% of the whole world. You are in the top 25% of the whole world. You have $10 hidden somewhere. Not the rest live hand to mouth. Hand to mouth is daily, like a daily wage. Tonight is finished. Then tomorrow, money must come to eat. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. That you're in the top 25% of the whole world. Oh, you don't believe me? Top 25%. You have some little coins that is called savings you have not spent and is hiding somewhere. You are in the top. That means this whole world, 8 billion people, 66 billion don't have that. And you can get it tonight. No. We are not mere men. I want you to understand that we are not ordinary men. We are blessed. We are not ordinary. So don't start thinking like an ordinary man. Those who are perishing, who say it is foolishness, don't think like them. They're 75%. No. Think like those who we know that we are saved. To us, sacrifice is something worth doing. It's worth doing. Whatever sacrifice it is that comes your way, it is worth doing. It may be your time, your money, your family, your evenings, your money for petrol, your little money. You must now begin to squeeze how to do money to go and do visitation. It will come in some way or other that it will cost you. And it is money that you could have used or time you could have used for something else, but it goes into the work of God, for God. That sacrifice. May you embrace sacrifice. Let me end on this one. Everybody here, you would not be here if you hadn't made a sacrifice of some kind to follow Jesus. Everybody. But the general pattern is you stop sacrificing. You come in now with a mind to gather and to enjoy. I've sacrificed enough. Now I'm coming to amass. No. Sacrifice. Look at Abraham. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. One day I was in Tamale, I was doing my church. It wasn't growing. I was struggling financially. I was struggling church. I was struggling all around in the business too. And I was telling God, why? Why am I struggling? Why are things hard? I said, I've left my hometown. I've left Accra. I've come to this place. The church began very nicely. It was growing. I mean, we had a very good name. Now it has stopped growing. I said, God, why? What is it? And God said, sacrifice. I said, sacrifice? Me, I've sacrificed. I've sacrificed coming from where I came to come and sit here. My son had allergies. I said, Lord, I've sacrificed. I said, what again? They said, that sacrifice has expired. It has expired. It's finished. You have eaten that sacrifice already. Sacrifice again. I said, hey, is that how it works? Yes. It's a recurrent theme. You don't sacrifice once and for all time. That's Jesus. You're not Jesus. You sacrifice and sacrifice again and again, all the time. Tonight, if anyone here will decide not to dismiss sacrifice as foolish, if anyone here will decide to embrace sacrifice of any kind, any type, any style, any way, if you would embrace a sacrifice, your life will move forward. Your ministry, your business, your desires, it will jump forward far, far more than you can carry it. Because one corn of wheat, one grain, produces a whole tree that was given far more than one is to one. Oh, no, one is to one, one is to two, one is to three, not at all. On a corn cob, how many grains are there on a cob of corn? Albert, how many, buddy? About 50 or more than 50. About how many? 200 or more on one cob. So one grain will bring one cob. And how many cobs on a tree? About two or three. Three. Two or three. Corn. Maize. Two or three. Two or three. Maybe four. Four times 200 from one single grain that you plant. What kind of school, what kind of teacher is doing this multiplication? What kind of math is this? One for 800. Somebody's got to be crazy. What kind of returns is this? No, galamse, no black market, no foreign speculation can give you one city for 800 cities in one season. Nobody. That's sacrifice. In one season. What's a season? It's a season of your life. I don't know what it is. But in one season, you will see a radical change from something low down to far above your imagination. You can't imagine it. In one season. Maybe it's 1 year, 5 years, 3 years. A season is a season. Yeah, a season is a season. But in that season, when you embrace a sacrifice, it will shoot you beyond your wildest dreams. May you somehow decide to embrace a sacrifice. May you decide that the first sacrifice is decide to tithe. 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 Nobody can tithe the same 2 months running. No. There's always, the way our country is, it always changes. The way our country is, dash money, small money, it's never the same. But you, for 5 months, the same figure. No. No, 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 no. May God help us. Stand to your feet tonight. I want you to pray that, Lord, help me to embrace sacrifice. It is unnatural. It is unnatural because the normal man who is perishing, to him it is foolishness. So sacrifice is unnatural. Tonight, pray that, Lord, I want to embrace sacrifice. Hallelujah. Just pray for yourself 1 minute. 1 minute. Just pray. Just pray. 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. Chatayende rabanda kasinde de kataya. Rabanda 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 da biriyande raboka kakatende de riba. Anybody here who wants a great change in his life? Anybody, you are here. I want to offer you, I want to make a deal this evening. Anybody here who wants a great change in his life, I want to make a deal with you that I will find something to sacrifice. Anybody? Anybody? You are here tonight. You want a great change in your life. Anybody, raise your hand if you are here. You want a great change in your life. A great change in your finances. Your find something to that is yours by right. Find something and give it up to God. Find something that and it should be deliberate. Not that it is stolen from you, but something that Jesus said, I lay down my life. Nobody snatches from my hand. I took it and I put it down. I lay it down at the altar. Anybody you want to do well, find something. I've got to sacrifice this thing. I've got to sacrifice this thing. Let us pray. Rabandada biri yande de koto yanda da. Rabaka sende de kiri yande de kiri yande de kiri yande de kiri yanda rabondo do kesa kate yande. Just talk to God for 1 minute. Talk to God, whatever language, whatever way you want to. Just lay your life before Him, Lord. This is me. I've tried. Maybe I've tried for something before. Tried for a scholarship, tried for a visa, tried for a job, tried for a relationship, tried something, and nothing has come. Tonight I'm giving you an offer. I'm giving you an offer. Add this spice to your concoction. Add this one. It will change everything. Add this little ingredients. Just include a sacrifice of some kind. Of some kind. Into whatever it is you are looking for. Let it be to God. Let it be to the church of God. Let it be to this work of God. The ministry. Whatever it is. Just lay down something. Lay down something. And tell God, I lay it down. This thing, I do it for you. I give it up for you. As I speak, I just remember that I've done things for my wife, just for her. I've done things, bought things, paid for things, done things, just for her, not for me. Not for me, just for her. And I'm sure others too have done similar things. And the Holy Spirit is just telling me, men can give up for men, but not for Him. Men can give up things for men. Many years ago, I gave up a job for my wife. I gave up a job. I had a very good job. I gave it up. I gave it up to follow her. I was unwilling. But I was newly married. So I gave it up to follow my wife. I was not happy at all about going. In those days, too, pharmacy was booming in Ghana. It was a very, very lucrative profession. And Lord just reminded me, we give up things for men. And I'm sure I've done things. But not for God. So tonight I want somebody to just meditate and just think about it. I mean, we are closing, we are going home. As you go home, just meditate and think about it. What have I given up for God? What can I give up for God? Time, my money, my family, my God. And you see, some things, only God knows the value between you and Him. And that's what that matters. And sometimes that's how come we have not seen great change in our lives. We have not seen great change because there's no sacrifice attached. May somebody tonight embrace a sacrifice. May somebody, you know, I'm trying to close, but I'm closing. One of the scriptures is, give to somebody who asks of you, and don't refuse him who would borrow. And several times people have asked for things, and I'll say no. Then I remember the scripture, give. And I give not because I want to, but because I feel it is something that I should do. And that money, it can have other purposes. But I want us to begin to be willing to sacrifice. Are you here? To be willing to sacrifice. I want to be able to give it up. If God asks, what does Bible says, Hebrews 11, I think it's 7, Abraham was willing to give up his son, who was the promise. He was willing to give him up. He was willing to give up his son, Isaac, who was the promise. Tonight, I want somebody to be willing, whatever it is God will ask. It won't be a tug of war. When God asks for your time, your money, your contribution, it won't be a discussion. Yes, no, no, yes, no, no. It will be yes, certainly. Certainly. Lord, take it. Take it. It's yours. I will give it to you because you gave it to me in the first place. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for these few words that are seeds that are sent out this evening into the hearts of all of us. Let these words bring forth a tree of righteousness. Let these words not fall to the ground and disappear, but let them bring forth fruits of righteousness. Let them turn around so many things in our lives and make us special, extraordinary, a peculiar people who don't live by the rules of this world but are governed by eternity and believe God to do what He says He will do. Thank you so very, very much for tonight. Thank you for everyone here. Let these words work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
When He ran to me, He took me in His arms, held my head to His chest, said, "My son's come home."
We believe the Word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place. This is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed.